Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We continue our conversation on evangelical feminism. The subject remains the same. The guest has changed. But this second hour is really all about your calls, your questions, your comments, and your email. We're coming to you live. It's the 21st of January this Sunday night. Dr. Peter Scare will be our guest to take your questions and comments on evangelical feminism. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. The callers and emails, the best callers and emailers will still get a copy of Dr. Wayne Grudem's book called Evangelical Feminism here in the second hour. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. issuesetc@kfuo.org. Dr. Peter Scare is a regular guest. He's assistant professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Peter, welcome back.
Hey, great to be with you.
I am very sorry, Dr. Scare. You made the ultimate sacrifice tonight. I understand your Colts won in an amazing game, and because you were such a faithful fan and guest of this program, you sat waiting in silence and didn't get to see your team win.
I can't believe it, though. You know, that's no sacrifice when we actually won, because we will be in the Super Bowl, and this is a wonderful night for all Colts fans everywhere throughout the world.
Okay, just explain to me, please, how you get to be a Colts fan in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Well, we live in Indiana, in the Indianapolis Colts, thanks be to God, moved from Baltimore any number of years ago, so we are only 2 hours away from them. And I was a pastor in Arcadia, Indiana, which is only 45 minutes away from where the Colts play. So tonight was a wonderful night. And my brother, I have two brothers who live in New Hampshire, that is both New England Patriots country, and we beat them, and thanks be to God, what a great night this is.
Now, I promise that we will not schedule you on Sunday night on Super Bowl Sunday.
Oh, thank
okay,
you.
We'll let you watch your game. Thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
Let's go straight to the phones, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. First to Carol in Dorchester, Wisconsin, listening on WGNV. Hi, Carol.
Hello. I had a question. I'm a member of a confessional LCMS church, and we have women voters. And my own son-in-law will not join, even though he's Lutheran. He's very confessional, and he said that's wrong. And so in regard to women's voters, you know, he won't, you know, have any part of that. And I wondered, if they're not voting on theological things, such as calling a pastor, maybe just building materials or whatever, can you have women voters, or how do you split that?
Carol, thank you very much, and thanks for listening there in Dorchester. This is a big one, women's suffrage in the church, in churches that do have suffrage, period. What are your thoughts, Dr. Scare?
Well, I think that's a great question that Carol asks, and you know, I'm with her in the fact that I do believe that you can be a member of a confessional Lutheran church and a biblical church that has women voters if you understand what women voters are doing. I mean, if you understand what the church council is all about, that is to say that they are doing the things that make the church run as far as, you know, the ground-to-ground operations. So I don't think it's a problem as long as they are not dealing with theological issues, as they are not dealing with the office of the pastor per se. So I think that she should be comfortable, and I think there is some room here for us to come together.
So in other words, if the Voters Assembly is dealing with matters, pragmatic matters of basically operation matters of the church, and not itself dealing with matters of theology or the pastoral office, then suffrage of either sex is not scripturally a problem.
Yeah, I don't think so. And I think that's the point of the Voters Assembly, you know, in a larger context, is there are a lot of practical matters that the voters should be making their decisions on, like, you know, whether there should be a building project, what color the carpeting should be, what time the service should be. I mean, a lot of logistical matters I think the whole congregation can be involved in, and I don't think that's a problem at all.
Also listening on WGNV in Stevens Point, Wisconsin, Daniel, thank you for waiting. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Sure.
My question is woman's role as far as teaching Sunday school, let's say also leading a Bible study with men involved in those classes or the Bible study, and what should one do? I guess it depends on the answer.
All right, Daniel, thank you very much. Another common question, Dr. Scare. Where would Scripture lead us in the issues of Sunday school or Bible class?
You know, rats, all these questions are, you know, kind of difficult, but they're not that difficult if you understand that I really believe there can be a lot of, you know, leeway. I believe there can be a lot of freedom if we understand the pastoral office belongs to the man. If we understand that the pastor should be male, and if we understand that the man should be the one leading the Eucharist, my feeling is there can be a lot of leeway in a lot of these other things. So, I mean, I don't want to, in no way am I going to be the one who's going to come down and say in this or that instance. I think if we get the principle right, then it seems to me like if, you know, if I were teaching a Sunday morning Bible class, and if I had a woman who were an expert, let's say, on the issue of abortion, and if she could, you know, be very helpful in teaching about, you know, her role and her expertise when it came to that, then I would say, you know, go ahead, share with us your knowledge on that, you know, under the supervision of the pastor. I think that would be very fine. So a lot depends on the context and saying, what do you want to do with this class?
It sounds as though we should probably clear this up before we proceed with the email and the calls real quickly. The clear distinction made in Scripture between the pastoral office and the priesthood of the baptized. Would you make that distinction with that 1 minute for us?
Well, I think that the pastoral office is those who are teaching authoritatively on behalf of Christ, those who are teaching and preaching, and I think that's especially to do with the pulpit. And I also think, though, in the Bible class, under the supervision of the pastor, certainly you can have other people who are offering their insight underneath the office of that pastor.
Here's an email. It comes from Sandra in Colorado. She says, it's easy for Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Lutherans to agree with Dr. Grudem's conclusions. They're definitely scriptural, and you can't deny them without denying Scripture. But Lutherans are all about the gospel and hearing about Jesus. We believe, according to Scripture, that the entire Bible points us to Christ and exists for the purpose of leading us to faith in Him. How does the order of creation, the roles of men and women, show us Jesus and lead us to faith in Him alone for our salvation? Excellent question, Sandra. Thanks for listening in Colorado. Dr. Scare.
That's not only a question, that's a dissertation. That's beautiful. I mean, but I don't know if the order of creation leads you to the gospel, but it's everything is related. I mean, the point is this. I think that God created the world the way He did for a specific reason. God created man and woman in a kind of harmonious, I think that Dr. Grudem calls it, in a complementarian way, so that men and women are meant to complement each other in the order of creation, so that the gospel is, well, I don't know, I'm not sure where this question is going beyond that.
Well, so, but it would be safe to say that if one dispenses with the order of creation, one has a real hard time with Paul when he starts talking about husband, head of the wife, Christ, head of the man. Now he's talking about things divine, not just about how men and women relate to one another, God, the head of Christ. You can't really leave the lower part of that order out without affecting the upper part of that order. Do you get my question?
Oh, yeah. And well, you know, it definitely is the question of our relations together as human beings, and that God did create us in a harmonious way, and that human relations do take place in a much better way when we act according to the way that God has created us, so that when men act as head and that women support men in their headship, certainly families work in a better way. And our human relationships are only a reflection of the way that God has created us as man and woman.
Let's talk with, actually, let's not go to a call right now. It's too close to the break. When we come back, We'll go to Norman in Lincoln, Nebraska, listening on KLCV. Dr. Peter Scare is our guest. He's assistant professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. We're continuing our conversation on evangelical feminism. You can join it, 1-800-730-2727, or email us here in the studio, issuesetc@kfuo.org. issuesetc@kfuo.org. If the earliest Christians celebrated the Lord's Supper every Sunday, how is it that many Christians today celebrate the Lord's Supper only once a month, or once every 4 months, or perhaps only once a year? Are many Christians failing to understand what the Lord's Supper is really all about? Our Issues Etc. book of the month for January is called The Blessings of Weekly Communion. You can find this book at either of the two Concordia Publishing House bookstores in St. Louis, one at 3558 South Jefferson in the city, the other in Clayton on the campus of Concordia Seminary. The Blessings of Weekly Communion is the Issues Etc. book of the month for January. Those two locations, on the campus of Concordia Seminary in Clayton or at 3558 South Jefferson in the city. You can also find out more about the Blessings of Weekly Communion at our homepage, issuesetc.org.
Grace, faith, Scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Christ Academy is a two-week residential program for high school-aged men on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Here's the director of Christ Academy, Brian Gurman.
The students at Christ Academy live in the dorms as a seminarian would. They study under the seminary professors, and they worship in Kramer Chapel. And it is literally taking the seminary experience and getting a good taste of it for those 2 weeks. And what they learn in the classroom, then they experience in Kramer Chapel, as that is really the center of the experience, just as it is throughout the academic year here on campus as well.
At Christ Academy, high school-aged men explore the possibility of someday becoming a pastor. Christ Academy takes place June the 17th through the 30th on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne. Look for the Christ Academy logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, 1-800-481-2155. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Peter Scare is our guest. We're talking about evangelical feminism. Right back to the phones, Norman in Lincoln, Nebraska, listening on KLCV. Norman, thank you for waiting. Welcome.
Thank you. Years ago, J. Vernon McGee on his program talked about the female principle in religion, and you early said something about female leadership and wondered about homosexuality coming next. My question is, aren't we going to revert with this female principle into the old-fashioned idolatry with the Baals and the Ashtoreths and all that sex pot religion?
Norman, thank you very much. Dr. Grudem made the case, Dr. Scare, and I think he makes it quite well in his Evangelical Feminism book, that there is not only a theological but an historical connection between the ordination of women and what is now becoming current in other churches, the ordination of open homosexuals. What do you think of Norman's projections?
I think, a lot of people, if they heard Norman's question, would think right away, oh, there's a radical. I think if they heard Norman's question, they said, well, he's well off the mark. And, of course, you know, he's not at all. He's right on. And what Norman's pointing to is the fact that once you go to women's ordination, you are one – I don't know if you're one step away or whether you're actually saying that it doesn't matter. There's no differentiation between the sexes, that the male and the female are the same. And when you go back to the order of creation, and I think Dr. Grudem makes a good point of this, is that – men and women are meant to be different. That doesn't mean that one is better than the other or one is greater than the other, but they are meant to complement one another. And when you get to the question of homosexuality, basically you are saying that, you know, the sexes do not matter, that order of creation does not matter. So I think that Norm is exactly right, that you are going into uncharted territory. I guess you are going to charted territory. You're going back to the paganism which was very prevalent during the Old Testament times.
Let's talk with Kathy in Monette, Missouri. Listen on KSCV. Hi, Kathy. Thanks for waiting.
Hi. Well, I just wanted to say I totally agree with everything that you're saying. I feel that women have a role in the church and in ministry. I'm a big fan of Bethmore Bible Studies, but I believe that when you put a woman in the pulpit, you know, as a church member, you're trying to grow your church and bring people in, and when you maybe bring someone who has not been maybe ever to church, or maybe not to your church, it can send a mixed message, because when you have a woman in the pulpit, you know, how are the men going to take that? How are the children going to take that? I think it kind of negates the role of the man, not only in the family but in the church. I mean, it sends almost a mixed message.
Kathy, thank you very much. Dr. Scare, what do you make of the mixed message that is possible there?
Well, I think that, I mean, Kathy has a great point. I think that the problem is that there are not enough, the problem is not that women should not be in leadership. The question in the church is, where are the men? I mean, men need to be the heads of the family. A lot of women, when it comes to the family, the women are left by themselves. Women are raising children by themselves. Women are left in the household by themselves because the men are abdicating their roles. And I believe that's the same thing that's happening in the church. It's not a problem of we need more women in leadership, but we need men to take their roles in leadership and in responsibility. And I think Dr. Cruden makes a great point. When you do have more women who are going into the pulpit, as Kathy said, you don't have the churches are not growing because of that. In fact, they are shrinking. I think the answer to that is to bring men back into their leadership and back into their roles of responsibility. And I think we can say that not just for the church, but we can say that also in the community, whether in communities that are falling apart. The problem is that men are not taking up their responsibility. And I think that's what also needs to happen in the church.
Listening on XM Radio in Cocoa, Florida, Dennis, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you. I'm listening on XM Radio, and I wanted to bring up a couple of thoughts here on women in the church. I agree pretty much down the row with what your gentleman has said there, but, you know, Paul did say, well, in fact, in Joel it says, in the last days, God will pour out his spirit upon all flesh, and that your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, not just your sons. And Paul also said, to kind of balance out some of the things, Paul also said there's neither male nor female in the spirit. But I will have to agree that some 20 years ago and even up to today in many churches, husbands don't even show up in a church.
All right. Thank you, Dennis, and I appreciate your listenership out there in Florida and wherever you may be listening on XM. Let's deal with both of those points. This is quoted in Acts chapter 2. Peter says that what Joel intended was that we understand the Spirit being poured out on all flesh, male and female. Your response, Dr. Scare?
I think Dennis had a couple of great points, and I'm so glad he called, because there is such a thing as a prophetess. There is such a thing as a woman who says something that needs to be heard. And I can think about the pro-life movement right now, that there are women who have stood up in our own Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, and in the church at large that have said, that have spoken up for the sake of the unborn. And the role of the prophetess is to speak up on behalf of the community and to say that which is right. And as far as Galatians 3:28, and that is talking about the role of salvation. There's neither, you know, male nor female, nor slave nor free. When it comes to salvation, we are all equal. And that's also a wonderful point that Dennis makes, is that and that is a great thing about Christianity, is that when it comes to our saving faith, we are all human beings. And by faith, having been baptized into Christ, we are saved. Irrelevant of whether we are male or female, whatever our age is, whatever our race is, and that is true as well.
But that does not, I guess, to finish your point, if you don't mind, that does not mean that Paul is obliterating all distinctions when he talks about in the realm of faith in Christ, before God, for Christ's sake, we are all one, as he says, neither male nor female.
Well, I mean, I like to make this point, is that to say that women should speak up on behalf of Christ, that does not make females males or males females, thanks be to God. We keep our distinction so that there is a role for fathers and mothers, there is a role for husbands and wives, and that this only, that when God saves us and God, when God saves us, he redeems that, the role of creation, there is a difference between us. And we should, you know, relish those differences. We have different gifts as males and females, and we should relish those and use them for the glory of God.
Real quickly, from Oakland, California, listening on KFAX, here's James. James, we only have a minute before we go to our break.
Hey, I think it's a satanic move. I see women in authority. You see, you can look at all the rest of that. The gentleman just mentioned about the male and the being in the spirit, male or female. God made man and woman. He made them different, and it's been that way since the garden. And when people get together and recognize homosexuality and women in the, not just women in the pulpit, women in authority.
All right, James, James, our time is short. Thank you very much. I think he made his point. When we come back, we'll give Dr. Peter Scare an opportunity to respond to James, and we'll take the rest of your phone calls to 1-800-730-2727. Lots of callers waiting, and we'll get to you as quickly as possible. And we've got email waiting as well, issuesetc@kfuo.org. issuesetc@kfuo.org. Dr. Peter Scare is our guest. We're talking about evangelical feminism. Bishop Walter Obari of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Kenya on the work of LCMS World Relief.
LCMS World Relief has come to our church as a real relief organization and has really supported a lot of projects in our church. An example is relief to our pastors by giving a cow to every pastor, which has been done to all pastors now. And LCMS World Relief has come in to support. Our deaconesses are working with women. It is true that God really sent LCMS World Relief to come to our aid at a real critical time, at a real time of need. The presence of LCMS in our church has been felt almost in every corner of the church by what has been taking place.
To support the work of LCMS World Relief, call them toll-free, 888-930-4438.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Todd Wilkin here again. I'm talking with Deaconess Pam Nielsen, senior editor at Concordia Publishing House. Concordia Publishing House has a new Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. Pam, first off, what's missing from so many Sunday school curricula?
I think a lot of substance is missing, and quite often Christ is missing in the way that he needs to be taught as Savior from sin, death, and the devil. There might be a mention of Christ. Maybe Christ is a great example. Christ is a good teacher, a moral teacher. But specifically, every week, we're missing often Christ as our Savior from sin and death.
Okay, so that's the sad general state of Sunday school curricula today. So what makes growing in Christ different? How is growing in Christ unique?
I think growing in Christ, we've been very intentional in in one, teaching the scriptures. We are concerned about Bible literacy. Pastors tell us they get kids in confirmation that they don't know any of the Bible stories, they don't know any of the Bible people. So we're trying to teach the Bible stories, the who, what, where, and when. But we're teaching them in the context of Christ. And every story, every week, be it Old or New Testament, connects to Christ as the Savior. And every story, every week, also connects the child to their life in the family of God. We have liturgy links or worship links. We're intentionally teaching the language of the faith and our faith vocabulary. And where does that come from? From the scriptures, for us as Lutherans, the catechism, and from our hymnal. Those are the ways we express what we believe about God and Christ. And so we want to teach that expression of the faith to our children and raise them up again in this family of God. That's all part of growing in Christ very intentionally, so that a child every week when they leave, they're certain that though they are a sinner, there is a Savior, Christ Jesus, who has come and done away with sin and death for them.
Are you looking for a truly Christ-centered, cross-focused Sunday school curriculum for your church or Sunday school? Call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours and ask about growing in Christ. 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can find the Growing in Christ logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Click the logo for more information about this truly Christ-centered, cross-focused Sunday school curriculum, Growing in Christ, from Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. 25 minutes left in our conversation with Dr. Peter Scare on evangelical feminism. Before the break, James was on the line. He had two comments. One, he thought that this move afoot to supplant what he talked about, male authority, is satanic. And he also noticed the connection between an approval of homosexuality and approval of this usurpation of biblical authority on the part of the male. What do you make of both of those comments, Dr. Scare?
I mean, I don't know. It's like so, I am kind of struck by, you know, the emotional fervor this evening, but I kind of, you know, I do resonate with it, that I do think that people are struggling with this, and the church really should be more clear on this issue, and I think we can be, because God did create the human race, but he created them male and female, and he did create us to be complementary to each other, so that the man does exert headship, but that headship does mean responsibility, and it does mean sacrificing for the sake of the woman. So all I can say is I do resonate with what James is saying.
Let's talk with Calvin in Seattle. He listens on KGNW. Hi, Calvin.
Hello. I'd like to thank you for giving me this opportunity. I'm really enjoying the show tonight. This is a very hot topic right now in the body of Christ. I'm an evangelist, and years ago I used to teach the Bible study at the YMCA in Highland Park, Michigan. And especially for new converts, this is very confusing, because Paul is very explicit about it in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, and 1 and 2 Timothy, you know, the pastoral epistles. My thinking on the subject is this. First of all, the Bible is not a poetry chicken that you go to the butcher shop and purchase and cut up the parts that you want to eat and throw the rest away. You know, you digest the whole thing. The second point I want to raise is this. I'm from Detroit, Michigan. A lot of pastors these days in my community are driving Rolls Royces and Cadillacs and so on and so forth. But when I go into the average church in the inner city, the women outnumber the men 25-1. And I say this. If these women hold back their tithes and offerings, then for the most part, these guys are going to be fighting for a seat on the bus. I think a lot of this has to do with the monies that are derived from the women being in the church, and these pastors are giving way to these demands in order to keep the tithes and offerings coming.
All right, Calvin, thank you very much. Boy, it's not hard to tell where Calvin stands, and I'm glad you called us from Seattle, Calvin. Dr. Scare, your response.
I love it. Calvin's got a wonderful point. And I think the one point that Calvin makes is, Christianity is not a cafeteria. You can't pick and choose what you want. And I think that's definitely one of the points that Dr. Grudem wants to make, that you can't pick and choose between the Christian doctrines that you want. And I think the other point that Calvin makes is that in many of the churches today, it's not as if there aren't enough women in heaven. I mean, it's not as if the church isn't full enough of women. The problem is you don't have enough men in there. So that I do have the feeling when we get to heaven that it's going to be overpopulated, or men are going to be way underrepresented. And I do think part of the problem is not that the church is too masculine, like the feminists say, but that we don't actually represent the masculinity of Christianity as we should. So I think Calvin's got a great point.
Calvin, hang on the line there. I'm going to send you a copy of Evangelical Feminism by Dr. Wayne Grudem. I think you'll find it not only to your liking, but also very informative as well. Let's talk with Mike in Kansas City. Mike, thanks for being patient. Mike, welcome. All right. We'll see who else is on the line. 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. Listening on KSIV in St. Louis. Let's talk with Sherry. Hi, Sherry.
Hi. Paul says in the Bible that women shouldn't be ordained, and he also, and I think he makes that pretty clear, he also says blatantly that women should not even speak in church. They should be silent. Does the doctor let that rule slide, or what?
All right. Thank you very much. She may be misunderstanding your point. We are adamantly against the ordination of women. What about those who would say, well, if you don't ordain them, then take Paul at his word and don't let them speak at all?
Yeah, I think there's a lively question there. And when you actually look at I think he's referring to 1 Corinthians there, our caller. And the word is that women, it's not that women should not speak, but they should not laleo. And that, I think, is the technical word for preach. So that, of course, women are going to talk all the time. I mean, and so are men within the church service or within the Bible study. So that pastor has a word and that we ask questions, we talk. But laleo, by the time you get to 1 Corinthians, really means authoritative speech. So I have a great chance to teach 1 Corinthians all the time. And I think the question is should women laleo, should they speak authoritatively, i.e. should they preach in the church? And that is what Paul is addressing there.
Let's see. Mike in Kansas City, I think we got him back. Mike, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Yeah, hey, thanks, Pastor Todd.
Sure.
I wanted to say that Issues, Etc. is just a fantastic resource, and everyone that's listening, I'd really encourage them to consider becoming a member of the Reformation Club with monthly support.
Well, thank you, Mike.
And Dr. Scare, I wanted to say to you, my Chiefs were humiliated by your Colts a couple of weeks ago, and as a result of that, I'm finding it very difficult to warm up to you tonight, sir.
Okay, well, I can live with that. I'm at such a cloud nine that.
Okay. Yeah, great. What I wanted to ask was that, you know, last week's topic on Issues, Etc. had to do with justification, and my problem with justification has always been that the evangelical church, they tend to focus on sanctification, an emotional form of sanctification, and they totally ignore justification. And I was wondering, you know, through Charles Finney and the burned over in the 1800s, I think it kind of started all this, but do you say that feminism in the church today is responsible for putting justification really out of sight when it comes to in the church?
Well, that's a very interesting question, Mike. Thank you, and I'm glad you finally got through there. Dr. Scare, it's a big question he's asked.
I don't know whether, I don't think there's any, direct link between feminism and justification. However, I do think there's a great link between feminism and Christology, because once you go the feministic route, it seems to me that you begin to deny Christology, That is the fact, the sonship of the Father. And I think Gruta makes a good point of that. You begin to deny the Trinity, that God is our Father, and that he has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to be the propitiation for our sins. So, of course, these things are linked. However, I'm not sure that it links exactly the way that the last caller said, although everything, of course, is connected.
Well, you know, I've thought that over, and let me bounce this one off of you, Peter, before we go to this break. Someone will say, okay, there are female pastors out there, especially in evangelicalism, who would never think, never even dream of denying something like the Trinity. And then there are female pastors out there in mainstream liberalism who, as a matter of course in their theology, deny the Trinity or find something to substitute for the Trinity. I wonder whether or not it's the female pastor in evangelicalism who still holds to the Trinity who's actually being inconsistent with her, with if she accepts women's ordination. And the one who's actually being theologically consistent, although terribly wrong, is the liberal female pastor.
Well, I think this is a terribly complicated issue. I do think that when it comes to evangelicals, I mean, this is my impression. I do believe that within the evangelical strain itself, there is not really a developed office of the ministry. Therefore, within evangelicalism, there is an idea that we all, you know, preach, we all speak the gospel. Therefore, I don't think that female pastors are quite the same thing they are like within the Lutheran or Catholic or Orthodox tradition, because in Lutheranism, female pastors represent Christ in a sacramental way, in a way they do not do in evangelicalism.
Dr. Peter Scare is our guest. We're talking about evangelical feminism. Let's talk with Sylvia in Marlboro, Maryland, listening on WAVA right before we go to this break. Hi, Sylvia.
Hi, how are you? And thanks Very well. For taking my call. I have a question. I definitely, first of all, I do not believe that females should be pastors. But what about teachers? Because in Ephesians 4:11, it says that some are called to be prophets, some are called to be evangelists, and some are called to be, okay, pastors and teachers. So is it okay for women to teach but or preach but not to be pastors?
All right, Sylvia, thank you very much. Dr. Scare, 30 seconds to begin a response to Sylvia.
Okay, Sylvia, that's a great question for me because I consider myself a teacher. That is to say, I'm a teacher within the church. I am a professor within the church. This does not have to do with, like, grade school teachers or teachers within Sunday school. This has to do with the office of the ministry and that we all have different within – those who hold the office have different gifts within that office. Some of us are great prophets. Some of us are good teachers, and some of us are great evangelists. So this has to do with the different gifts within the office of the ministry. And, of course, those who are teachers are doing so for the glory of God, like teachers in grade school and Sunday school, and those are good things.
Dr. Peter Scare is Assistant Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. When we come back from this break, 10 more minutes in our conversation on evangelical feminism. We'll get to your phone calls, 1-800-730-2727, and to your email, issuesetc@kfuo.org, right after this break, 1-800-730-2727, or issuesetc@kfuo.org. Dr. Peter Scare on how Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, is unique.
We take seriously the words of our Lord, you know, that we are to be called to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. We are faithful to the Scriptures, and we are faithful to word and sacrament. We are both evangelical and Catholic. We are evangelical in that we believe the Word of God to be true. That we believe the Bible, and we're not going to back down from it. At the same time, we're Catholic. We recognize that this church has been around for 2,000 years. We also recognize that God is continuing to work through means, that he's working through the water of baptism, he's working through the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we take seriously our mission to be a light and salt to the earth.
For more information on Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, go to their website, ctsfw.edu, or call them at 1-800-481-2155.
defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths into the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, visit our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, grace, faith, scripture, for the sake of Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you. Welcome back for the last 10 minutes of Issues Etc. We're coming to you live this Sunday night. It's the 21st of January, talking about evangelical feminism. Jen in Las Vegas writes this via email. "There's a saying I heard once. If men are a little slow to get going on leadership, women tend to jump in and just get it done. They say that men see this and just let the women do it for them. One thing I was warned about back when I got married was to refrain as much as possible from doing this. My husband has a role in our household, and when I jump in and do his job, why should he do it? It's being done, but that changes him and takes away his responsibility and takes me away from what I'm supposed to be doing." Jen writes, "We each have a role, a vocation. There are jobs for women in the church, but I see all the time women asking for their primary, forsaking their primary vocations and of wife and mother for the business of being leaders in the church. As many others have said this evening, in things outside the office of the holy ministry, women can and do have a place, sometimes even in leadership roles, but we need to be careful not to jump in and take over. We do that well," she says, "and we need to remember our primary vocations. If they aren't to be leaders in the church, there are those for whom this might be a primary vocation, then those of us who are moms of kids and wives." Your thoughts there, Dr. Scare?
Well, I think this only proves what we talked about before, is that can women be prophetesses? And I think Jen, in this last email or whatever she her note, she served as a prophetess. She was speaking the truth for the benefit of us all, and she spoke it very forcefully and very, you know, in a very lovely way. That is to say that we have different roles. And we to play, and that men have the role of responsibility, and that women have the role to support their husbands. And I think Jen has said it very well.
Jen, if you would email us again with your address, I'd like to send you a copy of Evangelical Feminism by Dr. Wayne Grudem, and thank you for that email. Let's see what Gwen in Alexandria, Virginia, has to say as he listens on WAVA. Hi, Gwen.
How you doing? My question is about
All right, Gwen, I'm sorry, your line has a terrible feedback on it, but I got enough, and if you could just kind of ad hoc on the passage of 1 Timothy, where Paul says, "I do not permit a woman to exercise authority."
Well, I think this is, you know, it's a great passage, and I think it's one that is dismissed by many of modern biblical scholars saying this came later, but this is clearly from the pen of Paul, who was inspired by the Holy Spirit, and here he is speaking authoritatively about women teaching authoritatively in the church, and it's one that we have to deal with as a society and as a church. So I think Gwen's right on.
Herman in Illinois listens on KSIV. He's been very patient. Herman, thanks for waiting.
Thank you for taking my call. I'd like to ask Dr. Scare in regard to Luke chapter 2, verse 36, Anna in the temple, when Jesus is presented, is described as a prophetess. How would you exegete that term and the verse regarding her status? Does it give any implication to women's leadership, or is that she is familiar with the Word of God as it had been revealed up to that time?
Thanks, Herman. It's a good question. That was an example I had not even considered before. What do you make of it, Dr. Scare?
Well, I mean, I love that example. I do think that that is a role which is women play all the time within our churches, you know, even today, is that is to say that women often are called to speak on behalf of the truth. And I think I might have brought this up with you before, but I remember when I was at a church in South Bend, and we were talking about women's role in the church, and somebody was saying that, of course, Paul was wrong about saying that only men could be pastors, and Paul was only influenced by the Greco-Roman philosophical, you know, people of his time. And then a woman came up in the back of the church and said, no, this is wrong, this is feminism, and we don't need any of this. And a woman spoke up in the back of the church, and she silenced, you know, all of the bad things that were going on. And I do think that it is the role of a faithful woman to speak up on behalf of the truth very often in the course of, you know, in the course of the life of the church. This does not mean that she is, Anna was not teaching, she was not preaching from the pulpit, but she did speak up, and I think that is the role of women today, too.
So just on kind of an every Sunday basis, the faithful, I had these when I was in the parish, I'm sure you did in your parish experience, Dr. Scare, the faithful women would listen so very carefully to my sermons, and if anything was awry, if anything was a bit fishy, they came up afterwards and discreetly and kindly had a question or a comment, holding their pastor's feet to the fire as they ought to.
Well, that's true, like with Priscilla and Aquila. They helped out Dear Apollos in, you know, Acts. It's also true in a Bible study that when you say something, that a woman is very, you know, right to ask a question and say, is this right according to the Word of God? And she is not preaching. She is not assuming the role of teacher there, but she can very well speak a word of God, and I think that is very necessary and appropriate.
Ron in Nashville writes this, I don't believe you have mentioned or discussed the fact that major Wesleyan and Pentecostal groups have ordained women for 100 years or more. I have extensive Assemblies of God and Church of the Nazarene background with several ministers in my family. Not all groups that ordain women are mainline liberals. Thank you very much, Ron. Well, I think we've mentioned his general point before, but there is, among some of those groups, an older tradition of ordaining women.
Sure.
Is that different in your mind from... Dr. Grudem said, look, whether you do it because whatever reason you ordain women for, you're still in violation of Scripture, even if you are in other respects so-called conservative and Bible-believing. Would you concur?
My feeling is that within the Wesleyan or Pentecostal tradition, that they don't have the same understanding of the ordination as we would within the Orthodox tradition. That is to say, within the Pentecostal tradition, the person who is ordained is simply speaking on behalf of himself by the Spirit. Within the Orthodox tradition, people are speaking on behalf of Christ. So my feeling is that within the Pentecostal tradition, it's much easier to ordain a woman because I don't believe that they have quite the same understanding as we do concerning ordination.
So their ordination of women may stem not from a blatant disregard of Scripture's authority, but a failure to fully understand what Scripture teaches about the pastoral office.
Yeah, I think that's, you said it very well.
Well, as we wind this down, you mentioned Christology being at stake on the issue of the ordination of women. What is at stake in the person and work of Christ when it comes to this issue that is so much controverted in the church today? About a minute and a half to respond.
Well, you know, we as pastors are representatives, not of ourselves, but of the Son of God. We are representatives of Christ Jesus, who was born a man, born the Son of God, born the Son of Mary. And as a pastor, any number of times, I don't know if you've had this, but, little children have come up to me, and they said, oh, thank you for the sermon, Jesus. And, of course, I'm not Jesus. I'm merely speaking on his behalf. But children recognize that I am the representative of Jesus. I am the representative of God's Son. And that is the reason I believe that we, as men, have been chosen to be representatives of our Lord. Our Lord, born the Son of God, chose 12 men to be his representatives as apostles, to be his representatives and to speak on his behalf. And on the other side of that, we have feminism, and which is largely representative of paganism and of the world. And I think that's what Wayne Grudem has been preaching very well against in his book. And we as pastors speak on behalf of Christ. We are his icons, and we are his representatives. And this is not because we want to do this, because it's God's way. It's what he has ordained, not because we have chosen this, but because this is God's choice.
Here's our mailing address, box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Here's our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. Use either of those to receive a free complimentary copy of our next Issues Etc. journal, or to join our monthly or annual donor program, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Join in the next 5 weeks, and we'll send you the new I Have Issues t-shirt, box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117, or 1-800-737-0172. Dr. Peter Scare is Assistant Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Scare, thanks for being our guest.
Hey, great to be with you.
The big question here, really, that runs through the entire conversation is, has Christ authorized his church to do such a thing as ordain women? He didn't do it himself. Has he authorized his church to do it? No. Nowhere in Scripture has he authorized the church to do this. So the church does well to follow Christ in both respects. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen each week to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of Worldwide KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.